Now, the last time I spoke here in ministry, I wonder if you can remember what it was I spoke about. No, it wasn't, actually. It was Abraham. And I did promise that I might well finish what I started the last time I was here. But then when I started thinking about tonight, I'd actually forgotten how far I got with Abraham. So I thought, well, maybe I'll just leave Abraham for the moment. But nevertheless, what I've been doing as I've been taking ministry is I've been looking at Hebrews chapter 11. This great chapter on faith and the examples we have in Scripture of those who were tremendous people of faith. And in my studies so far, I've looked at the first four in Hebrews chapter 11. The first, of course, is Abel, who by faith offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and suggested there that Abel's faith, the aspect of Abel's faith, is faith in the aspect of worship and believing and trusting God and approaching him in the right way. And then we went on to look at Enoch. And of course Enoch is known by everyone as being the man who walked with God. And therefore we have in Enoch the aspect of the walk of faith. And then we go on to Noah, that great man who built the ark prior to God's judgment by the flood. And of course Noah, therefore, his faith was marked out by the fact that he worked for God. It meant toil and physical labour for Noah, and he demonstrated his faith through the work that he did. And then fourthly, there's of course Abraham, the one that perhaps everyone would think of as being the tremendous exemplar of faith. And I suggested to you, I do remember saying this when I was here, that I would suggest that the aspect of Abraham's faith is that he was typified as being a wanderer. He was a pilgrim. He didn't look upon this earth as his home. And we know that the writer of Hebrews says that he was amongst those who look for a city whose builder and maker is God. And Abraham's faith was typified by the fact that he moved from place to place, and particularly that he lived in a tent. He came out of the city of Ur, where he no doubt lived in a building, and for the rest of his life he lived in a temporary dwelling, a tent, typifying the fact that he didn't see earth as his home. Now this evening I'd like us to consider the fifth example of faith that the writer of Hebrews chapter 11 brings to us. It is in fact the first of two women that are mentioned by name in this chapter. There are more than two women spoken of, but only two of them do we have their name. We have also the mother of Moses mentioned, Jochebed, and then there are other women who received their children from the dead. Women received their dead to life again. Who those women are, we don't know. But the first woman that is mentioned in this particular chapter is, of course, Sarah, Abraham's wife. And the more I've thought about Sarah and the very brief reference we have to her in this chapter, you know, it's amazing how so often we think about Abraham and the great man that Abraham was and the great faith that Abraham had, and we fail to think about Sarah, his wife. And yet it is quite obvious, and I hope to bring this out as we look at Sarah's life here, that is, as often is the case, wherever there's a great man, there's also a great woman behind the man. And that Abraham, I would suggest to you, wouldn't have been the man of faith that he was if it hadn't have been for the support and some warmth that he received from his wife Sarah. And the more I've looked at this, the wonderful example of faith that Sarah is. And as I say, often, sadly, she is eclipsed by her faith of her husband Abraham. So let's just turn then to Hebrews chapter 11, and I only propose to read just two verses. Now it's page 1285 in the Hall Bible. 1285. And the two verses that I want to read, they're not difficult verses to remember, Hebrews 11, verse 11. Hebrews 11, verse 11. And it reads as follows. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now, let's just think for a moment or two then about this lady Sarah. Now, I know some people don't like this, but I'm going to give you a letter to help remember something about the life of Sarah. And we were just saying before we came out, the Bennets seem to be ruling at Collier Row at the moment. Every meeting seems to be taken by a Bennet of one form or another. I took the carol service on the Sunday. Then we had Greg Bennett took the Bible study last Tuesday. And then we had Dan Bennett took the gospel meeting on Sunday. And now we've got Robert Bennett taking the meeting tonight. So it's all B's. So here we are then, the letter B as a whistle-stop tour through the life of Sarah. Let's just turn, first of all, to the first mention we have of Sarah in our Bibles, which, of course, is the book of Genesis, chapter 11. Genesis, chapter 11, brings to us the first mention of Sarah. Now, in fact, the very first mention, of course, is in verse 29. And it says here, and Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Issachar. Now, the first thing that I'd like us to put down there is where Sarah came from. She actually came from Ur, which of course was in the land of the Chaldeans, of which Babylon was a part. So Sarah's ancestry was in Babylon. That's the first thing. The second thing that we read about Sarah in verse 30 is that she was barren. She had no child. She was barren. She was unable, naturally, to have children. Two B's. Babylon, barren. Third thing, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 11, she was a beautiful woman. Now, I don't believe that this is just a beautiful character. I believe that she was actually a beautiful woman to look at. Here we have in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 11 the following, and it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that's Abraham, that he said unto Sarah his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. And he therefore concocted a half-truth about Sarah. He told Sarah that she was to tell Pharaoh and anyone else who might fancy her that she was actually Abraham's sister. Well, if you actually look at it, she was his half-sister. They shared the same father. But nevertheless, Abraham was frightened for his own life if it was known that Sarah was his wife, because they might then want to try and do him in so that they might take Sarah for themselves, because he recognised that she was a woman of beauty. And we can see that he was right, because that is exactly what happened when they went down into Egypt. Pharaoh did want to make Sarah a member of his harem. We find later on in the account of Abraham and Sarah that it didn't just happen in Egypt, that it happened also in the Philistine area as well. There was someone there who noticed how beautiful Sarah was and wanted to take him for herself. And again, Abraham told Sarah that she was to make out that he was, that she was his sister. But she was a beautiful woman. I'm sure the fact that she was barren but beautiful made things even worse for her, I might say. But that's as a man speaking. What else do we know about Sarah? Well, let's turn to Genesis chapter 18 and verse 6. And I think this is a lovely little thing here. This is the account of where Abraham is sitting in his tent door out there in the wilderness when three men come towards the tent. And it says in verse 6, "And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth." And I've said there another thing about Sarah was she baked bread. And of course I don't just leave it at that. I'm suggesting that this indicates that she was a good housekeeper. She knew how to look after her household. She knew how to cook and how important that is. She was a good wife in looking after the things of the home. And of course, we might also say she was good at entertaining strangers. These were three strangers that she was to entertain. Of course, we know now that they were no ordinary strangers. They were none other than angels, and one of them was none other than the Son of God himself, a theophany of the Lord Jesus. And here, Sarah is entertaining them. And that's why I believe in the New Testament it says that we should entertain strangers, because it says some have entertained angels unaware. And here is a practical example of a lady who entertained angels, to start with, unaware of who they were. I'm sure she knew eventually who they were, certainly when she heard what they had to say to her husband, and we'll come back to that a little later. So we've got that she was a Babylonian, she was barren, she was a beautiful woman, she baked bread, she was a good housekeeper. And then in chapter 17 and verse 17, we read that she gave birth. She gave birth. Verse 17 of Genesis chapter. "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" Here is a 90-year-old woman who is going to give birth. Again, we'll come back to that in just a moment. And then finally, as we just review the life of Sarah, we turn to Genesis chapter 23 and verse 2, and we read the following. "And Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, the same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her." And then over to verse 19. "And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre." So she died and she was buried. And she was 127 years old when she died. It's interesting to note, she's the only lady in Scripture where we are told how old she was when she died. No other lady are we given how old she was when she died. Only Sarah's age is given. Now, what is Sarah best known for? We've thought about some of the things of her life, but what is she best known for? I've deliberately missed those things out. But I bet if I was to ask everyone here, what do you know about the life of Sarah, you would probably give me one of two things for which Sarah is best known for. One is the fact that she gave Hagar, her maid, to her husband to father a child. That's one thing that most people would know Sarah for. The second thing, I've no doubt, high upon the list, that most people would remember Sarah for, was that when those three men came and visited the tent, you remember that one of them spoke to Abraham and Sarah was listening at the tent door and she heard what they had to say and they said that she was going to have a child and it says she laughed in her heart. And I've no doubt that many people will remember that particular incident and will hold that as something that marks out Sarah, that she did not believe God. Because it was a laugh of doubt. Because she says, how can I, who have gone past the age of motherhood, how can I possibly have a child? And that's why she laughed in her heart. It's interesting to know that she laughed in her heart, but that the Lord knew. Because he said to Abraham, why is Sarah laughing? But Sarah didn't laugh out loud, but the Lord knew. And we have evidence, of course, of that in his own life when he was here upon earth. The Lord Jesus knew what was in the heart of men and women. But you'll notice that neither of those two incidences are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. There's no mention there about Hagar and Ishmael, and all the problems that that made in the family. And there's no mention made of Sarah's laugh of disbelief when told that she was going to be a mother. God is gracious, isn't he? We are not given that part of Sarah's life as an example. We are given much more positive things to look at. So let's return to these verses. Let's just look at the aspects of faith that marked out Sarah and remember, as we do so, why this chapter is written. It is written to encourage us, men and women of faith today. And maybe it will challenge us, and maybe it will encourage us. We like to think that we are men and women of faith. And of course, faith is absolutely essential to the Christian life. We need only go back to verse 6 and we read there, without faith it is impossible to please him, God. So we have to have faith before we can please God. And of course we know from Ephesians that without faith we cannot be saved. We are saved through faith. So we are men and women of faith. And so therefore these examples that we have here and the aspects of faith that we're supposed to learn from them, we should take notice of. So let's just look at some of these things that we can learn from this lovely lady, Sarah. So turning back then to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11, I just want to make four very simple little points from this verse. First of all, I want us just to think for a moment about the obstacles of faith in Sarah's life. Because it's very easy, isn't it, to think when things are going well and everything is rosy, I can understand why that person has faith. I can understand why they trust God. I can see that God is blessing them. Oh yes, I can see that there will be no problems for them. But if we look a little deeper into Sarah's life, we find that that is not the case. Life wasn't all sunny and rosy and well. There were obstacles in the way of Sarah's faith. Yes, there is blessing for those who have faith, but there is blessing for those, and there are going to be difficult times for those who have faith. Then I want us to look at the effect of Sarah's faith, because there is no doubt about it. The scriptures tell her that she had faith. Now, what was the effect of that faith? You see, we can say we have faith, as James says, but that doesn't mean anything, does it? In order for faith to be real, it has to have an effect, an outworking. And let's see how faith was outworked in Sarah's life. But faith has to be based on something. And we have here in this lovely verse what the foundation of Sarah's faith was. And then finally, we notice that there is a reward to Sarah's faith. And the scriptures tell us that God is a rewarder of those who trust him. So let's just very quickly then look at these four points together. The obstacles to Sarah's faith. Now, looking at them, we will find that they're all natural things. They're all things of the physical world. The first one is that she was barren. We've already mentioned that. She was unable to have children. Now, even today, there is an assumption made that all women who are married will have children. And if they don't have children nowadays, then they have the right to have children. And now science, having made the progress that it has, is able to give women who naturally are unable to have children, it is able to increase the chances of them being able to have children. But of course, in the time of Sarah, if a woman was unable to have children, there was nothing or little that could be done about it. And it was considered to be a stigma in her day. If a woman was unable to have a child, it was considered a stigma, because very often connected with that was the thinking, it's a judgment of God upon her. There is something wrong with her life, and that she is being judged by God, and that's why she's not able to have children. And that's how Sarah would have been looked upon, as a someone under the judgment of God because of her an ability to have children. And then we notice that as the process of time goes on, she gets to an age where she can't have children, even if she were able to have children. Because the natural process of age had come upon her, and she was now beyond the age of being able to have children. She had gone through the menopause, and she was now the other side of menopause, and she was therefore unable to have children because of her age. And the Bible makes that abundantly clear in a number of passages, that she was past the age of being able to have children. What obstacles these were, how difficult they were, and of course they were compounded by the fact that God had promised to Abraham that Abraham was going to be the father of a great nation. Now, of course, if we look at the way that Sarah reacted to that news, we can perhaps begin to understand why she acted the way she did. We can understand why she should laugh. How is it possible that a woman in her 90s could possibly have a child? And yet this is what she heard the messenger telling her husband, that she was going to have a child. How is that possible? Naturally speaking, it's impossible. And yet this was being told her husband. And no wonder she laughed within herself. But how beautiful the answer that is given to her disbelief. Cannot the Lord do that which is impossible? Let's just turn to that for a moment. It's in Genesis chapter 18, I think, isn't it? Yes, verse 14. This is a wonderful verse, and what an encouragement to those of us who want our faith increasing, and we all need that. I often sympathise with that man that came to the Lord Jesus, and he said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And I would say, "Yes, Lord, I have faith, but give me more faith." And here's a wonderful verse for that. This is what the visitor says. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's a question that doesn't need an answer, isn't it? Because we know what the answer is. But you see, Sarah laughed as she thought about the impossibility of a 90-year-old woman who had never, ever had children or been able to have children. How is she possibly going to have a child now? And she laughed within herself. But then the Lord says, is anything too hard for the Lord? You see, she was looking at things from a natural, earthly perspective. And we can't blame her for that. We're all like that, aren't we? We look at things from an earthly perspective. We forget that nothing is impossible to the Lord. And then, of course, we realise later on that that Abraham had spoken to Sarah about the visit he had had from that angel, and about the way that he had laid out that offering, and about the way that that promise had been made, that covenant had been made with him. Now, that he had mentioned this to Sarah, and then maybe Sarah's female mind got working. How was this going to happen? How was he going to be the father of a great nation? How was it? I know, I'll give her my maid Hagar, and he can have a child from Hagar, and he will be the inheritor of these blessings. And so it was that Ishmael was born. You see, she looked at things from a human standpoint because of these obstacles that were in the way. But isn't it marvellous that the scriptures go beyond that and go beyond what Sarah did? Because we read in Hebrews 11 that she received strength to conceive seed. But we notice, before we see the effect of her faith, we notice that it was a personal faith that she had. She didn't rely on the faith of Abraham. She didn't say, I'm going to be blessed because Abraham's got faith. She didn't say that I will just simply go along with Abraham because he has faith. No, it says here, through faith also Sarah herself. Also Sarah herself. You see, it wasn't just Abraham who had faith. Sarah herself had faith. It was a personal faith. It has to be. Faith has to be a personal thing. Nevertheless, we've got this lovely picture here of the two, husband and wife, together sharing a common faith in the God of heaven. Now, what was the effect of this faith of Sarah? Well, it says that she received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child. She received physical strength, first of all. Physical strength so that a 90-year-old woman was able to conceive a child. That's a miracle in itself. But more than that, she was able to give birth to that child. She was delivered of that child. And then, I think another remarkable thing, she was obviously able to feed the child herself, because we read of a time when she had weaned Isaac. She had finished feeding Isaac herself and was now ready to give him food. And this is a 90-year-old woman, but physically strengthened miraculously, but through her faith. But she was also given spiritual strength. Now, I'm probably not going to explain this very well, but I very much think that we can easily do Sarah down when we think about the way she reacted with Abraham about Hagar. You remember that there was a day when she had weaned Isaac and she noticed Ishmael, who must have been about somewhere between 14 and 16, making fun of her son Isaac. And Sarah went to Abraham and she said, look, that boy and his mother have got to leave the home. They've got to leave the home. They can't carry on in the home. And Abraham, typical of most men, was a little bit indecisive. He didn't know what to do. But God told him to take notice of what Sarah had to say. Now, why was that? I would suggest to you that that was because Sarah understood God's plans. She knew that God had said it was through Isaac that thy seed will be blessed. It wasn't through Ishmael. And Sarah knew that that was God's plan. And therefore, Hagar and Ishmael had to leave. Oh, yes. We read on that God had plans for Ishmael as well, and for his descendants. But that was the insight that Sarah had, I would suggest, because of her faith in God. Now, very quickly, what was the foundation of her faith? What was the basis of her faith? What was it? Very simply, her basis of faith was God. She believed God. She judged him faithful who had promised. She judged God faithful. She had a knowledge of the character of God. She knew that God was faithful, that he cared for his people. But she also had a knowledge of the word of God. She knew what God's promise was, and she judged him faithful who had promised. Having received the promise, she knew that God would carry that promise out to fulfillment. Now, if we turn just for a moment back into Romans chapter 4, we have another mention of Sarah, but it particularly centres on Abraham in the verse that I'm going to read here. But she's mentioned, although I won't actually read the mention to of her, but here we are, verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he, that's what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Now that's speaking of Abraham's faith, but you know, I believe that Sarah's faith was identical. She also knew that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And then what was the reward of her faith? Well, I've got down here that her faith was rewarded with fruitfulness because she had a son. A 90-year-old woman, unheard of, had a son because God had promised it to her. And that woman that had laughed in unbelief, if we turn over to Genesis chapter 21, we read of her laughing again, but this time it isn't in unbelief. Let's just read Genesis chapter 21, verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And then down to verse 6, and Sarah said, God had made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. The laugh of doubt and unbelief was turned into a laugh of rejoicing, because God had fulfilled his promise. And will you notice that others join in? Others are affected by that joy. Others will join in laughing with her. They also will be able to see the wonder of the God whom Abraham and Sarah seek to serve. And then just drop down to Hebrews 11 verse 12 again, and we see there that there were descendants that followed. So it wasn't just Isaac, there were all those other descendants that were promised as well. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. An innumerable number of descendants. I haven't the time to look at why it should be stars and sand, but just think stars are in heaven, sand is on the earth. Earthly descendants? But what about the heavenly descendants? What about you and I? We're descendants of Abraham because he's the father of the faithful. So there we are. There's some descendants. That's some fruit from Sarah's faith. Well, very quickly in summary then, what about the obstacles? There were obstacles to Sarah's faith. They were natural ones, and they're brought in natural reasoning. But through faith in God, she received strength. Divine strength, both physical and spiritual. She trusted in God and his word, and she was rewarded for her faith by being a fruitful woman. Now, might that encourage us? Might we be marked out by similar characteristics? Well, it doesn't mean that the 90-year-olds in our congregation will start having children. But nevertheless, let us trust God to do that which to us might, humanly speaking, seem impossible. It's not impossible with the Lord of heaven. Our God and our Father, we just ask thee to help us to be men and women of faith, that like Sarah we might trust thee. We acknowledge that sometimes we can identify with her in her failings and the times that she doubted. But we just pray that we might trust thee and the word, thy word, and the promises in thy word, and that we might look to the reward that will follow as a result. Just encourage us then as a company of thy people here at Collier Row, we pray, as we commit ourselves to thee now, in Jesus' name. Amen.